Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who does not want Columbus in there?
I'm not saying you, well, it's not as sexy. Right? Montreal is, there's a lot more Montreal fans around. I get what you're saying. The story of the Columbus Blue Jackets, their resiliency, the heartbreaks, the, you know, the loss of Johnny and Mathieu Gaudreau, the injuries to so many of their players they battled through. I think it would be a great story. And it's one that I like, the underdog story. I think that if it was Columbus against pretty much any team in the National Hockey League, I would say, okay, there's probably more Columbus fans, but because it's Montreal, I think there's probably more fans that want Montreal in.
I'm just going to let it linger. Go Hawks, go.
I mean, even our great original franchise owner, Seymour Knox, loved the Canadiens. So I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, there's a lot of fans of hockey that still, even if though they're not fans of the Montreal Canadiens, still like the Canadians because of the attachment to maybe some memories as a child, or, you know, just the maybe the rivalry with the Sabres and whatnot. That's what it is.
I'm just gonna letting you carry this here.
Just because I didn't say I didn't want Columbus to make it. Look, if it was between Columbus and a lot of other teams, I'd want to say Columbus. But I think Montreal has been a good story this year. And look, one of the stories that you have talked about, like, from the beginnings, and Montreal is not a bad team. Now, were they playing badly? Yeah, they were playing very bad early in the season. But they changed the way they play a little bit, which should be a lesson for a lot of teams. You can adjust the way you play in season. It doesn't have to be like, oh, our systems are set and we're good. New York Rangers, our systems are set. We're not going to change that, right? Like, well, it sunk you. And if at some point you had adjusted, maybe, just maybe, you'd be in the playoffs. Montreal did adjust. Montreal went from Marty Saint-Louis wanting to play strict man-on-man in the defensive zone, a lot of chasing around, giving up a ton of goals. I almost said another bad words here. But I'm looking at it and saying, you needed to adjust, and you adjusted. Did they do a complete 180? No. But they made some adjustment in their game, and it's helped them.
Montreal and Chicago tonight, the biggest game on the schedule tomorrow, if it's still relevant. Columbus is at Philadelphia. And notably, the West wildcard picture could get finalized. They're down to one game each, and I can't imagine the pressure for St. Louis and for Minnesota. The Blues host Utah. The 12-game winning streak is a distant memory. They've lost three in a row. Yes, they control their fate, but boy, it can't feel good. And Minnesota, for all their ups and downs, they have Anaheim coming in, and, you know, would have presumably feel like they're in a pretty good spot. But right now, Minnesota leads Calgary by 3. St. Louis leads Calgary by 2. Both the Blues and Wild control their destiny. And yet Calgary keeps winning.
The Blues do if they win in regulation, but if they were to win in overtime.
That's the definition of controlling your destiny, Marty.
But a lot of time it's more like, and I get what you, I just want to make a little, because a lot of time you say controlling your destiny, win a game and you're in, right? But this is a win a game in regulation, because if you win it in overtime and Calgary wins both of their games in regulation, St. Louis, even though you won your game, you're out, because you need a regulation win to get in. That's the little caveat here. And that's why when you look at Columbus, if Montreal was to get a point tonight and they don't get a point in their last game, and Columbus is still alive, because if they tied them and they win in regulation both of their games, they would have the tiebreaker. There's a little bit of a wrinkle that could be thrown in depending on how the cards fall. But yeah, St. Louis, you win in regulation and you're in.
So what's the wildest wild card scenario that will unfold in the next couple of days? Who makes it that most people think won't make it?
I, you know what? Because I look at Minnesota, St. Louis, and Calgary, and I think that St. Louis is still the better team of the three, in my opinion. They got Thomas and Carew. Parayko just came back. They got Bennington. I look at the St. Louis Blues, and I think they are the best out of those three teams. But they're probably right now the one that they need that regulation win, or things could tighten up a little bit. Second, I think the Flames are the second best team out of the three right now. The way they're playing, and if they get in, that's because they would have won 4 in a row. They've got 2 in a row, and they would win the next 2. They would go into the playoffs winning 4 in a row, coming from behind. I think the Flames, and they found a way to score a few goals, although, man, what a disappointing overtime loss when they were up 3-1 late in the game against Anaheim. But, you know, imagine if they would have won that one. It would be a point closer. But the Flames are, to me, the second best team out of the three. And Minnesota, despite the fact that they are in wild card number 1 right now and are, you know, with 1 point, would be getting into the playoffs. They don't need a regulation win. They just need a point. They just need to go to OT. Eriksson Ek came back at 4 goals his first game, at 0 points the last 2. Kaprizov came back at 2 goals and an assist his first game, has only 1 assist the last 2. Like, I think Minnesota is the team that's struggling the most out of those 3 right now.
They had a heroic win on Saturday in overtime.
I know. An 8-7 win that gets... that was against Vancouver, right?
Vancouver. Yeah.
I think you meant like the one against...
It looked like they were toast, and it was a really impressive rally.
I still don't think Minnesota, and this is just me, I think out of the three, I think they would be the third team right now that I would say, okay, how do you rank them 1, 2, 3? I would put Minnesota 3. But you know what? It doesn't matter. All you got to do is get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You press the reset button and boom, there you go. Maybe Filip Gustavsson kind of goes out and, you know, puts up a wall and steals a game or two. He had to get pulled the other day, but they pulled him to give him a break so they could bring him back against Vancouver, which he did a good job in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Saturday for the Blues was tough. They got a point, but they had 5 chances to win it in the shootout. First one was with a save that they didn't get, and then they had 4 chances from their shooters to win it before ultimately losing in round 7. So, again, it wouldn't have changed everything completely, but it wouldn't have them staring at 3 straight losses going into their final game either. So,
And against the Kraken, that's the same thing. Like, you have Chicago and Montreal tonight, you have the Kraken, you've had San Jose, Anaheim, like, you've had teams that have been like, oh, mm-hmm. let's play spoiler a little bit. And the Kraken took a point away from St. Louis in that game.
So again, tonight it's Chicago, Montreal that all eyes are on. And other than that, just some tinkering as far as, you know, potential home ice gained and things like that across the league. Buffalo, Toronto tomorrow. There was one other thing I went. Oh, well, just more within the division and the fact we saw Connor Geeky last night for Tampa, mm-hmm. who, you know, could play a little bigger role here for the Lightning based on Bjorkstrand injury and the fact that he's earned this call-up. But his brother Morgan has 32 goals for the Bruins this year. He's a RFA amidst a very changing landscape for the Boston Bruins. It's also relevant because the Sabres have enough RFAs that are going to be talking points, and every player affects the market. Morgan's 26. He'll be 27 this summer.
Yep.
He's gone from 9 to 17 to 32 goals over the last 3 years. Makes a couple of million dollars. Like, what is, like, Morgan Geeky is now a top 30 goal scorer in the NHL. What do we think this is going to translate to, and how is it going to impact the market?
Well, I think that, I mean, we've discussed offer sheets a lot on the show, especially with last year, you know, having St. Louis Blues offer sheet, Dylan Holloway and Philip Broberg. And yes, I think that there is going to be some offer sheet movement this summer. Sabres have Peterka, Quinn, they have Byram, they have McLeod, who are all RFAs. I think that maybe Peterka and Byram could be offer sheet candidates, but the Sabres would probably match and move on. When you look at Morgan Geeky, this is the first time that he's had the season that he's had. So the AFP Analytics projection when it comes to Geeky for his next contract was 4 years at $3.3 million. We can guarantee you that's not going to be anywhere near the $3.3 million. It, with 32 goals now, we're probably talking about five plus, right? I mean, but you got to be buyer beware on that one. So maybe a team was going to look at Geeky as an offer sheet candidate. Why? Because you can go high because he scored over 30 goals this year. You could say maybe it's 6 million. You think that a 35 goal scorer like Morgan Geeky could be at $6 million, and Boston saying, yeah, we still think he's more of a 20 goal scorer. We're not giving him $6 million. We let him walk. That's the kind of candidate that may be vulnerable, or a team that may be vulnerable for an offer sheet, as somebody that's producing above the expectation. A team may take a chance to say, hey, we're going to give him a lot of money, hoping he stays at 30, 35, 40 goals, but another team thinks he's more of a 20-goal scorer.
Well, what do you think of him?
I think he is, the way that he's playing, he's playing with David Pastrnak on a team that doesn't have much else.
Right.
I think that the way Morgan Geeky has gradually gotten better every year, mm-hmm. I think he's a 30-goal scorer. So, you know, and 30 goals may mean between 27 and 34, right? Like, give or take a few goals here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So paying Morgan Geeky at the age of 26 going on 27, his last year before he's a UFA, paying him anywhere between $5.5 to $6 million, I don't think is crazy to think. So, I mean, is Boston wanting to go there, or is it an offer sheet that's going to make that happen? That we'll have to see in the offseason.
Just to circle back, the AFP projection was from a long time ago.
It was from Christmas, yes.
Right, yeah. Okay.
So I think that when the season ends and we get those updated projection, it's going to be different. But then, obviously, if Morgan Geeky signs a contract at the end of the season, well, that could be a direct comparable for J.J. Peterka, who has, gone over 25 goals and over 60
JJ's
points.
Way younger and has had higher point totals.
But if I'm just saying that a comparable, because if Geeky, for
and
example, signs
status.
A $6 million contract, okay, on average a year,
yeah.
That's because that means JJ would be way above that, right? I mean, it's kind of a setting a floor. Wherever Geeky would be, would probably setting a low floor to where JJ's negotiation would be starting.
Yeah, I mean, Morgan's a third rounder from 2017, so he doesn't have age or draft pedigree on the same side of him as Peterka does, and doesn't have as big a body of work. I would say the Bruins need to not extend this any longer. I think five times five would work for both, and be done with it long before we even get to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but that's just me. So.
No, and I get, and look, Geeky's not a candidate for a bridge deal because
right.
he's going to be a UFA. Peterka could be a candidate for a bridge deal or a arbitration deal just because, maybe you're trying to buy yourself a little bit of time to be able to see where it is. I wouldn't do a bridge deal on JJ Peterka myself, but Geeky's not a candidate for that at all.
Best and worst. Marty is the king of this. And we're speaking of the weekend, of course, and nothing more. We're going to get into that when we come back. And also, Banditland is going to be springing back to life in night one of the NLL playoffs. That'll be April 25th. It's a Friday night. It's a 7:30 start. We're awaiting the opponent because, oh, I could talk for days about all the potential combinations that still exist with 1 week to go in the National Lacrosse League regular season. Just know this, the Bandits have punched their ticket to be the one seed throughout in their quest for a three-peat. And not only do I want to see you in Bandit land, we can encourage you to get those playoff tickets now, bandits.com/tickets. Congratulations to the franchise for, after all this time, a record-setting season at the box office. Just completed their fifth sellout of the year, but overall attendance has never been seen at this level in the National Lacrosse League. Really incredible and well-deserved, obviously, from everybody inside of the Bandits organization. So they got one game to go. They're in Georgia this weekend. Maybe Dane Smith rewrites the record book from a scoring standpoint. Maybe Josh Byrne does the same. Those two and Matt Vince and on it goes have the Bandits in another great position. We're back after this.